Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday Morning MV Pro Call. Today is May 20th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by going to motorvitality.com and looking at years and years and years worth of archives, including this one in a couple days or a day. Usually we've been getting them up pretty quick. Or you can subscribe to Motor Vitality on whatever podcast application you use, Google Podcast, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. You choose it. We'll be there. First off, I am live, coming to you live from the Eastern Water Quality Association in Fredericksburg, Maryland, so excited to see it. This is awesome being here among people from that we haven't seen in a long time. It's so great. If you are coming into this industry and you have an opportunity to find a regional or national Water Quality Association event, I'm telling you, the enthusiasm and excitement right now in our industry is palpable. It's amazing. So I would absolutely encourage you to find a way to attend. Beyond that, and the other reason I say that is I'm actually standing outside on the sidewalk, and you may hear beeps and honks and horns as we go through this today. So that's why, because I'm outside of the event right now. But I am going to start the call off the way I do pretty much every week by asking, is there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that is worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can do to any questions we can answer for you?
Kelly, I have a couple of things.
Yeah, go ahead.
First off, we had anticipated and sent out an email that we were going to do a meet, Brian, a chat with him. Unfortunately, he had something come up that he was not able to make the call last minute. So we are hoping that we'll be able to do that in the near future. So we do have a different topic. But before we talk about the other topic, wanted to just kind of point out, I did have one of our MV pros call the other day and a little bit boggled. There was a new home. And the homeowners, they lived there only 6 months. They had equipment in there since they lived there. They were on city water. And when they got home, they turned on their faucets, and the water was coming out yellow. And so then they checked all the faucets and flushed the toilets, and everything was yellow. And their municipal water doesn't have any iron in it. So then they saved a sample for him. He went ahead, tested water, found just a trace of iron in there, but then the sample that they gave him was just turned immediate bright orange. TDS was quite a bit higher. I think it was higher by over 100 TDS. And so he's like, what is this? You know, it's not a hot water, cold water thing, because at first I'm thinking hot water thing, but no, it's only 6 months old. So as we were brainstorming, it dawned on me, now is the time that they are flushing hydrants. So now is the time that you're going to get a lot of those phone calls where all of a sudden my municipal water is orange or yellow or pink. And so kind of the person that's answering the phones in your office, remind them that, you know, or your service technicians, remind them that that may be what the issue is. I went on their page, their website, and it did say the first 3 weeks of May, they're going to flush approximately 400 hydrants. And it said, if you experience rusty water, run cold water only for 10 to 15 minutes to clear the rust out of the lines. Do not do laundry until the water clears up. Additionally, if residents notice a sustained decrease in water pressure, call the water department. So Also, if you happen to have a CRM that you're able to, you've designated each of your customers to either Well or a certain municipality, now is a great time to go ahead and send out those emails and say, your city is anticipating this, fleshing out the lines. So you might want to watch for this. This is how you take care of it. It might save them a service call.
So what are we recommending? You know, if somebody has that, Jen, what are we recommending to treat that? How, you know, so somebody calls in and says, hey, okay, so how do I fix this? I don't want this stuff all in my house. What do we do?
I would say just go ahead and run the cold water like it says. If it's in your house, if it happens that they ran the hot water, not realizing this was going on, they might want to go ahead and flush their hot water tank also. But just flushing the lines is about all you can do. Hopefully, if it's a lot of that gobbledygook, because it was ferric iron that come through, hopefully a lot of it didn't get into like the reverse osmosis. If so, it may require, it's bad, then it might require the a filter change or something. And then regenerating your softener, just get everything out of there. Do a manual regen.
So if you live in a municipality where this is an issue commonly, and you can find that out, look at it, call them, ask when they flush their lines. If it's a municipality at all, they usually flush the lines at some point. This is a common issue whether they post it or not. This is a common issue across the country. So if you have a situation like this where you are, you know, where they're going to be flushing, it's a great opportunity to add on just a sediment filter housing, you know, and it's something where they could leave it empty most of the time through the year, you know. Go ahead, Stacey, you can say, what were you going to say?
Well, so it was funny her timing on this weekend, because that's exactly what was happening in my neighborhood on Sunday. Was we had the orange water. Mm-hmm. So it blew past my softener. It blew past my 20-inch big blue with a 2501 dual grade filter.
Really?
In it.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So that kept the big chunks out, though. So at least it kept the big, if it's 25 micron, then you might have gotten some color, but you're not getting the big chunks of sediment in there, which is what is going to do most of the damage, right?
It's a 2501 filter. It didn't catch much at all, if any.
Really? Really? Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, because my toilets were bright orange.
Wow.
I mean, I didn't do laundry Sunday because of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't do laundry because your water was yellow either.
Yeah.
Well, it might have been just because
exactly.
I didn't feel like doing laundry, but.
And I've been in this house almost 20 years. We've seen this numerous times.
Yeah.
But I
you know
it's
coming, yeah.
I added the sediment filter like 3 or 4 months ago, and this is the first time it's happened since it, and I tell you, I did not see any difference.
Really?
Wow.
So that's interesting. Anybody else run into this, or what are you doing for a solution?
So, Kelly, I had the same situation actually at the beginning of the week. A neighbor came up to me and said, you believe what's happening with our water? And I'm like, well, what's happening with our water? She goes, look at it. And she goes, haven't you seen it? And I'm like, no, my water looks great. So
yeah.
It was just like, whatever it was hadn't got past my filter, you know? So my, you know, it's just interesting.
Yeah.
You know,
go ahead, Jen. Go ahead.
The one thing, and, you know, we have to tread lightly on this, but how many people do you talk to that say, oh, you know what, my water is fine, I have city water, you know, but then they go ahead and they flush the hydrant, and it's one of those things that's like, okay, well, where do you think all that gunk is coming from if when they flush hydrants, you know, it's stirring everything up and it's coming into your home. So, you know, I every once in a while, it depends on who I'm talking to, I'll make that little comment about, you know, those the infrastructure isn't as clean as you think it is.
Well, clean is a word that's one of those cautionary words, you know, because staying, you know, we want to stay, I mean, yes, it's true, but I think it is legitimate to point out, and the way I always word that is this, I say, you know, considering the amount of water the municipality supplies, the amount of customer the municipality takes care of, they actually do a pretty good job with it. The U.S., you know, overall does a pretty good job with it, considering how many people we supply water to. So, in fact, that makes the job that they do makes our job a lot easier because we don't have to start from scratch. They've already done a lot of the stuff. You know, and but it's just simply impossible for them to treat the you know, they treat the water at the plant. It's impossible for them to treat every delivery system, you know, every pipe that goes through the house. And that's evidenced by, and this is where you bring up the flushing. I don't know if you've ever you know, noticed periodically when they flush the hydrants that you get discolored water or sediment coming through. You know, that's the stuff that the municipality just realistically cannot treat in the delivery systems. And that's where we come in. We give you the peace of mind. We can do it at point of entry or, you know, point of use. So, you know what I mean? That way you're complimenting them, but also pointing out what is obvious there as well. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So, great. That's a great talk. Anybody else have anything to add about that?
Yeah, hi, Kelly. This is Greg in Valparaiso.
Hey, Greg. How you doing?
We always good. Don't you need to run some iron out through that system to change it from ferric to ferrous to get it out of the softener?
Oh, that's a, you know, you might using a resin cleaner or a or some sort of cleaning. Yeah, that's it. You may end up having to do that depending on how much iron is in there and the backwashing. So there, yeah, you might need to do a backwash and or a resin cleaner like iron out or something like that. That's a good point, Greg. That's, you know, it is possible. Depends on how much there is and how much it goes through. But, yeah, an extra backwash might be needed. Good point. Anybody else? Did I lose you guys? We there?
No, we're here.
Okay, good. All right. So, awesome. So, sorry guys. Like you said, I'm standing outside on the sidewalk, in lots of traffic going through. So I don't know if you guys are able to hear that or not. I hope not. I hope it's not too loud. But
no.
Good. So I did have a topic that I wanted to talk about today, and this came up recently actually in a couple different ways. So we've got a client that is using the, I mean, like everybody, they've just been crazy busy, selling like crazy, putting stuff in. They're short an installer, and so they've actually been using, you know, outsourcing a little bit on their installs. And this is a common, what I wanted to talk about is a common problem, something that every dealership has, whether there's outsourcing or not. It's one of the reasons the relationships between installers and salespeople can be so strained sometimes. I wanted to talk a little bit about the plumbing assessment today and what we put on the plumbing assessment, what information should go on it, how we should communicate that to the customer as far as what the customers are looking for. This client that I have, they're outsourcing, they're having to use a couple plumbers to put some stuff in, and the plumbers in particular, who are not familiar with the equipment in general, are looking at this going, I'm not sure, you know, how do we know? I mean, they are looking at this dealership as if they are completely, you know, I think it gives the dealership a bad, kind of a bad name in some ways, because there's no information. You know, these plumbers are going, we're professional plumbers. We're out there doing this stuff. We know what we're walking into. We know what plumbing type is. If we're going and doing this type of a job, we know how big the plumbing is. We know where things are going to go and you know, where it's going to drain. And you know, there are things there. Now, most dealers that I'm aware of have some sort of a plumbing assessment, some sort of a form. But what I wanted to talk about today is how do we communicate that? There's two places to communicate it. It's first to the homeowner, you know, how do we communicate it to the homeowner? And then how do we communicate it to the person who's installing it, whether that's somebody that we're using internally or somebody that, you know, we have to ask to help us? You know, how do we communicate that in a way that makes them respect the process as opposed to, you know, not want to be part of the process or be irritated with the process? So that's what I wanted to, and this is a topic that we could spend a lot of time on. So I just wanted to hopefully come out of this today with a couple ideas. So let's first off start, who on the call actually does a plumbing assessment? When you go in as on your sales call, what are you putting on your plumbing assessment? What are you documenting and writing down as part of your plumbing assessment?
This is Jose. What I do is I put in the size of the pipe, of course, what type of material, if there's any rust, if the pressure is significantly low, and obviously, you know, the space in the location where the system would be installed.
And are you documenting that somewhere, Jose? Are you putting it into a CRM? How are you communicating that with your installers?
So I have a plumbing assessment sheet, which is like double-sided and very tiny font, because I have a bunch of information there, including like what type of, you know, a spigot material finish material that we should be using to match the decor. Basically, yeah, we put that in the CRM. In-house CRM, and they see it whenever they're going to install it, they see it in their calendar notes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And do you communicate that with the homeowner at all on where the equipment is going to go? How do you leave it with the homeowner? So when you're doing the, you know, this came up last night. Let me tell you kind of where I'm going with on this part of it, and then we'll go back. When I was in sales, you know, we talked a lot about reverse osmosis systems, and I actually had in my test kit as part of my demo kit, I had a demo faucet. That was just a polished stainless steel. So, and there were a lot of other faucets, but I had a demo faucet that did not have the stem on it. So it was just the base, and I could pull that thing out and set it on the counter. So I would take it out and I would set it next to their actual faucet, and it looked like it was installed because it did not have a base, so I could just set it there. And it allowed me to ask the customer, so, and this is how I would say it, if you were to put in a drinking water system, which side of the sink would you want the faucet on? And I would move it from side to side, and when they said, oh, definitely there, when they decided to do it, I would put a piece of masking tape on the sink with a little X on it. And it not only allowed the customer to, you know, make sure that we were choosing the right place, it allowed the customer to visualize what it was going to look like in their kitchen and have, they're seeing themselves own it. If they're visualizing that faucet, you know, they're visualizing ownership of that faucet. It also eliminated any confusion for the installer on where that was going in. Is anybody else doing anything like that? You know, somebody suggested, I was talking to somebody about this last night, and they suggested doing a similar thing with the equipment, you know, when you're in the basement or wherever it's going to be installed, having a piece of chalk, like sidewalk chalk, as part of your arsenal, you know, in your clipboard or whatever, when you're carrying it in. And you can say things like, you know, if you were to put a system in, do you have a preferred location? You know, this is, of course, the installers may see something that I'm not aware of. They may have a different suggestion, but could I mark where you would prefer to have it or what area you would prefer to have it in? And you could draw a circle, even put a, you know, if you're putting a couple of different pieces of equipment in, you know, draw a circle, or you could draw a square or put an X on the wall. Chalk cleans right off. But it helps the customer visualize where it's going to go. And it's also a light closing strategy. You know, so if you were to put something in, if they're going to give you that information, that shows they're interested in, you know, if you're able to put that chalk mark. Is anybody doing anything like that, or how are you communicating that location information to the customer?
So the way that I do it is that I speak to them and I show them pictures of installations that were done on the right side and the left side, and I explain to them why normally people will like to have it on the left side if they're righty, mm-hmm. you know, right-handed. And also I don't mark anything because I feel like my clients are like they need to be treated as with white gloves. You know, they have these they're very OCD. They don't want anything anywhere. But it's a good idea though. You know, at least I can ask and say, hey, you know, can I mark this with a, I don't know, some kind of tape, you know? But definitely they know ahead of time the material. Cause what I carry with me instead of an actual spigot, I actually carry samples, which is a, like a keychain that has like maybe 15 different colors or
colors. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then I can imagine and say, okay, this is the color we're going to give you. And you know, that's for me a closing. If they say yes, that works.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, yeah. Who else? Anybody else? What else are you guys doing?
So I do pull out my faucet, and depending on their countertop and their different options, because we've got the faucet, we also have the ClearLink button. So I'll pull out the different options and show them where it can sit and ask them their opinion, and then I normally take a picture of it because I take pictures of all my install spot and the plumbing and all that stuff, which we upload into our sales order for the service installer.
So is that the information that you're giving to your installers? Now, your installers are familiar with equipment, and they have an idea of what they're putting in. But could you hand that to somebody that had never installed equipment before and have them understand where it's going and what it's, you know, what they would need as a minimum to do that job?
Probably, because I'm putting in, you know, what type of plumbing it is,
mm-hmm.
where it's
mm-hmm.
going, what we're using for the drain. If we're running, if we're connecting the RO to the fridge, I'm putting in, the more information I can give them, the less likely things are going to get screwed up.
Yeah.
It protects me, it protects my customer, it protects our company.
Do you find that it also helps build the relationship between you and your installers?
Yes. So here's why. So we are actually required to do pictures, okay? And this actually stems back from when I first started because I knew I didn't know what the heck I was doing. So I started taking photos, and the installers loved it. So next thing you know, mm-hmm. it's a company. So they like it, but they like good photos. But like the one time I'm telling them to remove and replace an old same company unit, and I get a call from the guy. He's like, where am I supposed to plug it in at? And I'm like,
yeah.
Plug it in where no one's plugged in, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes
yeah,
they want more than I even give them, but.
Well, it's better to, I believe strongly that it you can never have too much information on
right.
that. So, Maria, I know that you're really good at leaving it open for the installers to kind of choose, you know, because they are the experts. So how do you word it in a way where you're guiding the customer, you're talking to them, but also leaving leeway for the installer to make an appropriate decision?
A lot of it also depends on the home. Some homes it's real obvious where it's going to go. Other homes it's not. You know, and I explain to them, this is our installers, this is what they do, so they may see something that I don't. So, you know, even like, you know, sometimes they want the RO in the basement or they want, and so I'm like, that is always an option. You know, if they come in, they may see something that I don't and that might not be able to be possible. So, I mean, it depends on the home, it depends, but I explain what the system does, I explain what the system needs, And then I, you know, so, you know, depending on their home and what the installer sees, this is what they do. So, you know, I trust that, you know, they will make the decision with the customer. So, again, I can't just, you know, giving them a matter of fact, it's going to go here, I can do it in the basement. That doesn't work because, in reality, that might not be the case. So
yeah.
I just need to leave it where, you know, this is, we're the professionals, this is what we do. So does that help?
Yeah, that's excellent. So, all right. So, what else? Do anybody else have any ideas on this, on how we communicate this or what we do?
So here's a thing I ran into yesterday. It's best to always be honest with them. I explained to a, so basically, I get into a house, the main shut off is down near the floor behind the water heater, just barely above the wall trim. And I explain, and I asked, first question, are you on a slab? Yes. So I explained to him, one, we're going to have to cut into that wall to even find out if we can connect. Two, there is that possibility that those lines, as low as they are going to go straight down into your slab, and we will have the couple inches of pipe that we need to connect to. I said, but we're not going to know that until we cut open that wall.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, and while we're at it, you will have to move the washing machine so they can work. So they're thinking about, but they said it never crossed their mind that it might not be possible. And I said, most of the time those lines go up. I said, but you're a one-story house.
Yeah.
There's
a
possibility it's going to go straight into the crawl, into the slab.
Yeah. Sure, absolutely. I think that's really important. You get at that with irrigation systems too, you know, where somebody has tapped, you know, they've run an outside line or an irrigation system way far away from where the main comes in. Absolutely. So, communicating that. That's another reason to do that assessment, to make sure that you are, you know, you don't want to bury yourself. You don't want to get into a situation where you're having to go back and say, oops, sorry, I sold this, can't do it. So, all right. Any final thoughts on this or comments?
I always say take pictures and make sure you document it well, very well.
So I want to take Stacy and you've been here, you know, in the industry a long time. We've got a couple brand new people on the call, people that are brand new to the industry, and this is their first time being on the industry. In the last 2 minutes of this call, I wanted to take just a second and ask, is there anybody, what advice would you give to somebody? We've asked this before for people that come in. And it's all, usually the first one, run does not count. You can't give the advice, run now. You can't, that one doesn't count. Seriously, you guys remember when you first came in this industry, how much information there is. It's overwhelming. I mean, it is overload on how much information. So what I just want to, if somebody could jump in and give a 30-second piece of advice to somebody coming in brand new in this industry, what would you tell them?
Keep studying. Read everything you can. Watch go out with a service guy. Everything you can learn. Because I did a Zoom call with corporate technical service a couple weeks ago and learned something about ROs I didn't know before.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still learning. There's still more things to learn in this industry, so just keep studying.
23 years of doing this, and I learn something new just about every day. It's incredible. Good advice, Stacy. What else? What else? Anybody else have any piece of advice?
My advice is that focus on helping the client and not on actually just selling something that they don't really need.
Oh, so good, Jose. That is great advice as well. Absolutely. It's a give more. Sales should be way more about giving than taking. Absolutely. We are there to serve the customer. The sales will come. If you walk into a house saying, I'm going to help somebody today, instead of I'm going to make some commission today, you will see far more dividends on that. Absolutely. Great advice. And one final one. Anybody else? One final comment on that? Anybody else want to jump in? Okay, then I have 9 o'clock Eastern, which in this, thank you so much, you guys. I really appreciate it. Like I said, look for those regional or national events. Get involved as much as possible. You learn so much being around other people in the industry, getting out of your bubble. So thanks, everybody. Be safe. We will talk to you next week, if not before. So thanks, everybody.
Take care.
Thank you.
Service.